Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webber at StuWebb.com, and it is Thursday, April the 22nd, 2021, and I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on with me and Professor Joe Bolt, and we've seen some unusual stuff, everybody has, but I'm kind of glad that this cop was convicted, in my opinion. I sat there and watched the whole trial and watched the videotape and the whole bit. I'm kind of glad that he got convicted, because it keeps riots down, it keeps looting down and burning the cities down and the whole bit. And after seeing what the cops have done to me recently in a false arrest, the FBI involved, and I do have them nailed and they're going to be sued right in here soon. But after seeing this and seeing the activity of them against me over the years, we need an enema done in this country regarding all these cops. They need to be cleaned up. Half of them are dirtier than hell. And the problem is, it's the intelligence divisions of the police department is where the crime lies. And with that said, Jim, you want to give your report this evening, Mr. Fetzer?
Well, Stu, we may have some disagreements, and we'll see where Joel stands on this. I think that it was preposterous that he was convicted. The evidence all argued against it. That was most certainly a reasonable alternative explanation. Let me just lay out a little background here. I've done a preliminary study of this case and discovered that when he was arrested and manacled behind his hands, he was put into the squad car. We at that time had no footage of him being taken out the other side. The next we know, he's lying on the ground and the apparent V on the neck. But while he had hair on his head when he was taken into the squad car, now he's completely bald. He was handcuffed behind his back, now his hands in front of his chest. When he's lifted up to be put onto gurney, he has no legs. It appeared that they were using an African American Airway training dummy made by Sigma 7, which was a company in Minneapolis, which moved out of the area when the riots began, no doubt fearing their role in all this might be apprehended. Now, by the time we get to the jury, they have different footage. Now we see him being taken out on the other side. Let me now give you a rather detailed analysis of the footage that was shown to the jury. He's sitting in the car with actually the man who's his drug dealer, who is providing him with his resources. He's acting like a little girl that's going to want to be arrested. When he's pulled out, he's complaining, resisting arrest. They try to put him in this squad car. He's totally uncooperative. He's already saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. We have video where he's saying, I need too many drugs. Now, he's taken out on the other side. He's toned down. We have the apparent knee on the neck, except it's not actually on his neck. The judge actually directed that the prosecution couldn't say the knee was on the neck. There happen to be two major arteries in the neck, the carotid arteries. There's one on the left and one on the right. If the officer's knee had been on the carotid artery on the right side of his neck, nevertheless, blood and oxygen would have got to his brain on the left side. So even if the officer Chauvin had his knee on his neck, it does not appear to me that would have been sufficient to kill him. Now, what you have to understand is a toxicology report was done, and he was loaded with fentanyl, a massive dose, certainly sufficient to kill. He had methamphetamines in his body, he had cannabis. The guy was a walking drugstore. It appears what happened is that when the officers were about to arrest him, he had drugs in his possession he just got from his dealer, that he consumed the drugs in order to dispose of them as evidence. But rather like mules, they use transporting cocaine in prophylactics. If the prophylactic breaks and it's either in the stomach or the intestines of the mule, they can die of a massive drug overdose. Among the symptoms of drug overdose is your respiratory system closes down and collapses, making it difficult to breathe. My analysis, therefore, suggests that even if you were to be reasonably impressed by the prosecution's story that he died of asphyxiation because of Chauvin's knee on his neck, there's an alternative, to me at least equally plausible, explanation that he died from a drug overdose. It seems to me the medical evidence substantiates the drug overdose theory as the cause of death and not the knee on the neck. But the point I would make is the following. In order to arrive at a conviction on the first, any of the three charges, which were second degree, third degree, and manslaughter, you would have to have the jury conclude beyond a reasonable doubt he was guilty of those offenses. To be guilty beyond a reasonable doubt means no alternative explanation is reasonable. But in this situation, there was an alternative explanation that was reasonable, in my opinion, even more reasonable than the prosecution's case, which means to me he should either have been acquitted or there should have been a hung jury. It's a fascinating case, and of course there are additional complications here, because you have the President of the United States praying for the right verdict, which of course meant for conviction. You have the city awarding $27 million to the family of George Floyd that occurred as the jury was being impaneled, and then as the prosecution completed its case, you have the completely fake shooting in the Boston center of a young man by a woman who supposedly mistook her handgun for her taser, all of which is ridiculous beyond words. There's no sound of a shot, there's no recoil, there's no impact of a bullet. If this kid had been shot by a bullet, he would have been severely injured of his internal organs. He couldn't have driven anywhere. And yet when she steps back and says, "Oh shit, I shot him," the other officers are dumbfounded. How could they be dumbfounded if she'd actually shot him, because they would have heard the shot? In other words, this thing is just reeks of corruption. The whole case is littered with grounds for appeal, and I expect that upon appeal, it will be reversed.
I have a question for you, Jim. Did you watch the trial on TV at all?
I watched bits and parts of it.
Okay, I watched the whole thing. I mean, I literally, because I was working on my computer and on my internet site, and I watched the whole thing. There was a lot of footage in there, a lot of footage that I'd never seen before. And then, of course, you know, people were standing around at the very last when he was supposedly murdered. And they're saying, "Get off of him. Get off his neck. He can't breathe. He's dying." And, you know, at that point, I don't know. But, Jim, I saw that whole trial. There was a lot of footage the prosecution showed on that, from buildings across the street, from people who had taken the pictures themselves, and the whole bit, that were standing there watching. So I don't know what really happened. You know, it's just, I saw it on TV. And, I mean, they did an incredible job with the footage. So if you didn't see the whole thing, that may have been, you know, anyway.
There was a reasonable alternative explanation that was very much in evidence. He said himself, "I ate too many drugs." This is a dose. They had an autopsy report, they had a toxicology report that made this a reasonable alternative explanation. And my point is the following. You don't have to find it in one account or the other to recognize that you had two reasonable alternatives, and therefore you could not conclude beyond a reasonable doubt he was guilty of any of the charges against him. That's my point.
Okay. You got a point there. Now, Joe, what's your opinion of this?
Okay, now I have seen the majority of the videos. Now, I did not see the videos that they showed to the jurors, but I saw the majority of the videos that were taken at the arrest. And one of the things that came out is that one of the first videos that were taken was not taken by the crowd that was watching, but it was the police officer trying to get him out of the car. And he said, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And he's sitting there in his own car.
Got
him out of the car, put him up on the building, had him sit down. I don't know if they showed that to the jurors, to see if they could calm him down to where he could breathe.
Well, they did show in the video, in one video that I saw, they shoved him in the car, they got him in there, and he wouldn't calm down inside the car. Then they go to the other side of the car, And that's where they pulled him out, on that side. So they actually pulled him out the opposite side, is what I saw in these videos.
No, 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 no. That is what the police car. This is his car.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
It's totally different. And he was sitting there saying, "I can't breathe." He was behind the steering wheel of the car, and he said, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe." And they were saying, "All right, calm down, calm down." And they got him out of the car, took him around the back of the car. Now, this was his car, not the police car.
Okay.
And they had him up against the wall. He couldn't breathe. They had him sit down. Then he began to be somewhat panicking. So that's when they put the handcuffs on him. Then they took him over to the police car and tried to get him in, and they couldn't. Then they took him around to the other side to see if they could get him in there. And that's where he went down on the ground.
Okay.
Now, the next thing is there is an above video that shows Chauvin's knee. It was not on his neck. So the whole issue is, according to Biden and the Democrats, he got suffocated because of the knee on his neck. That throws it out right there.
Okay.
Let me confirm that, Joel, because the judge that restricted the prosecution from saying that the knee was on the neck. He wouldn't allow them to do that because the knee was not on the neck, and they had to revert to talking about in the area of the neck. It actually appears to have been on the shoulder, and that casts an entirely different perspective on the whole case against him.
See, this is where I'm saying there is no way that there was going to be a fair trial because of the mass media's propagandizing. That knee choked him out. That's what caused it. That's what the mass media pushes, that they pushed. And so when they went down to the trial, how could you fight the propaganda?
You got a point.
Now, let me say this. You know, I do believe the conviction circumvented the massive rioting, looting, and arson. I do think that is the case. And that's why the Democrats actually are not happy. They would have liked it if there had been either a mistrial or an acquittal, because that would have strengthened their case for rabble-rousing, which they're doing on a massive scale. Well, you come right down to it, and there was a brilliant case in an article about this in American Thinker. All the Democrats have to offer the nation is one note of racism, racism, racism. So they're doing everything they can in order to keep that drum beating. Because frankly, if you look at the Democrats, what else they're doing, they're bringing great destruction upon the nation, and it's unrelenting. When they try to use this case, by the way, to undermine law enforcement in this country, what are they going to do? What do they really want? To have no one arrested for any crime? In which case, it does become the Wild West. In fact, it's even worse, because in the Wild West, everyone had a gun. Everyone could protect themselves. That's why in the Wild West, you had a certain degree of mutual respect. Well, everyone in America now has to arm themselves, because the Democrats are pushing lawlessness, defunding the police, letting felons out of jail, reducing the offenses for shoplifting up to nearly $1,000. They're really opening up to huge surge of crime across the entire United States, which they are actively promoting and supporting.
That is the point of this whole issue about my behind-the-scenes thinking on this, is this and the Rittenhouse case, all of that is for one purpose only, because it's on a daily basis. ABC, NBC, and all of the three networks, the one key word is racism. Racism. And you white people are racist, and you need to be wiped off this earth. That is, and wiped out. They're saying, Biden must die. That is the money.
I don't know if Stu has picked up on this, but we do have. We got a woman activist in Minneapolis who was even a candidate for the city council and saying she wants them to stop doing the arson and the looting in the poor areas and go to the wealthy, go to the suburbs. And we have others talking about killing Whitey. And we have activists in New York City attacking people who are at restaurants telling them, we don't want you here. We don't want Whitey here. They are actively fomenting a race war right here in the United States. They are actively pushing it and supporting it. That's the Democratic Party, who has turned out to be a party of treason and corruption. It boggles the mind.
Hey, I'm in agreement with you pertaining to this administration and this Congress and the Senate. By the way, I want to interrupt the conversation, the flow for a second, because I think it's important. I told people in the beginning of the show that you know, I was falsely arrested here a couple weeks, almost 3 weeks ago, right out of a month. That I put up on the top of my website, you see, Blue Spring Stalker and false arrest of Stu Webb. Now, in there, folks, if you go in there, you can see two videotapes, but in order to see them, because it's a different format, I don't have $100 to buy a converter. But if you take and copy and paste those links that are in there showing the video, it says copy and paste in your browser, you'll see where I warned the stalker to quit bothering me, quit stalking me. I had her on tape for several days. Then she stalks me again, bumps into my car. I get out and said, you're under citizen's arrest. Start to yank her door open. And then she backs up real quick. So I take and pull in the parking lot. She follows me in there. Where I'm videotaping her, calling the police, reporting the stalker, instead of them arresting her for stalking me or taking my report, they come up with guns, five of them, point my head, and it'll blow me away and arrest me instead. So take a look at some of the evidence. Also, the cops were stupid enough to walk around with my video camera in their hand, and they turned it on while they're ransacking my car and everything else, looking for a gun, supposedly, that I supposedly pointed to her. I wasn't packing that day. So everybody take a look at the videos, and you determine what's going on. Now, Jim, what else you want to report on today?
Well, there's so much that goes along with this, Stu. For example, Brett Favre is being attacked for having said he didn't believe Derek Chauvin intentionally killed George Floyd. But the fact is, second-degree murder, which is the strongest offense of which he was convicted, is for unintentional killing of a person while committing a felony, unintentional killing. So he wasn't even convicted of intentionally killing George Floyd. And yet when Brett Favre makes the observation he doesn't think he intentionally killed him, he is viciously attacked. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable how much is going on here. Joel, I don't know if you picked up on this, because this story is quite new. But Brett Favre said something that was actually perfectly innocuous and consistent with the findings in the case, and yet he was smeared and attacked viciously by others, even in the NFL. I was really floored.
Okay, here is my take on it. It fits right into the propaganda scheme of what you have said. Democrats are trying to foment a race war. And in that way, they get their Bolshevik government, if you want to call it that, in power. And this is what this is all about, because what they want to do is to make things to where the police are not going to make the arrest. Just let them go. And the barbarian will be loosed within, you know, peaceful communities. And that's what they're looking for. And that's why this guy, Brett, got shut down.
Because here's another part of the absurdity. Part of the absurdity of it. I mean, here it is, count one, count two, count three. Count one, second degree murder, unintentionally killing while committing a felony. Count two, third degree murder, perpetrating an eminently dangerous act and evincing a depraved mind. Count three, second-degree manslaughter, culpable negligence creating unreasonable risk. I'd say you might have an argument for second-degree manslaughter. Did he evince a depraved mind? I think that's dubious. Most certainly, he didn't intentionally kill him. Was he committing a felony of the act? Was Derek Chauvin committing a felony? Not that I can see. He was enforcing the law. It was a report of a fake $20 bill being circulated. And, of course, it turned out that Floyd was, you know, trafficking in drugs. He had a very long rap sheet, by the way. One of the absurdities of this case is that Pelosi and others are trying to make it out that this guy was some kind of saint. I mean, it's just absurd how many offenses he committed. He'd been multiply in prison. He had many arrests. He had one for a home invasion where he pointed a gun at a woman who was, the stomach of a woman who was pregnant. He was, of course, also in porn movies. I mean, this was a pretty unwholesome guy when you come right down to it. And yet here you got AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That family had to lose a son, brother, and father. And a teenage girl had to film and post a murder that millions of the country had to organize and march just for George Floyd to be seen and value is not justice. And this verdict is not a substitute for policy change. What in the world is she talking about? See, they're trying to obfuscate that the man was found guilty and punished. And on this score, I agree with Stu that was probably very desirable in the eyes of the public who have a very limited understanding of the evidence in this case, as witnessed by those who are savaging Brett Favre for saying he didn't think that he meant to kill him, but he was convicted for unintentional killing, which means he didn't mean to kill him. I mean, this is just ridiculous beyond belief, Joe.
I agree with everything that you said, and it is to foremost a revolution, a racial revolution. That's what this is all about. They're pushing, because the absurd statements that are being made that any reasonable person could see, these are absurd statements. Like with AOC, it's ridiculous. And the whole thing is, they want to bring it down. That's what they want. They want to bring it down.
They want to destroy this country. We see that. And all the shootings going on, supposedly shootings and all this other stuff. No. All of a sudden, we've got that for gun control. Take the guns. Go ahead, Jim.
Let me add other developments that occur in the last few days in relation to the Capitol intrusion. Even the New York Times has had to admit that the Capitol police were warned in advance there was going to be an assault on the Capitol, but that the Capitol police were ordered to stand down. And you have the New York Times raising the question, by whom were they ordered to stand down? When the answer is obvious, the Capitol Police are under the control of the Speaker of the House. Nancy Pelosi ordered them to stand down. And, of course, she had every reason to. She wanted to have an intrusion to disrupt the discussion of evidence of election theft and voter fraud. She accomplished that goal. She had these people pretend to be Trump supporters so she could smear Trump supporters. She accomplished that goal as well for James, the brother of John Solomon, who's a well-known Antifa leader, reported he led 226 Antifa members into the Capitol pretending to be Trump supporters. And third, she had the basis for another fake impeachment against Donald Trump. He's so powerful that the Democrats are pulling out all the stops to try to undermine his influence on the future course of American politics. But not only is it the case that the Capitol Police were ordered to stand down, but this officer, Sicknick, who was supposed to have been killed by being hit over the head with a fire extinguisher, 3 months later, we learned actually died of natural causes. He had two strokes that brought about his death, and there was no external or internal damage from, you know, blunt objects. In other words, the whole story was a fantasy. And third, the Department of Justice disclosed the investigation of the death of Ashley Babbitt, who, of course, was supposed to have been killed when she was crawling through a broken window into a hallway in the Capitol. And an officer came out and shot her. I pointed out at the time this all appeared to be staged. There was no clinching. There was nobody ducking for cover. The sound to me was that of a blank. She was laying down on the ground. There was no blood coming from her neck, even though the neck was about to bleed profusely. I saw no indication of any emergency medical assistance to her. She was eventually carried out by her legs and her shoulders, which is improper because who knows, you might be aggravating the injury and actually bringing about her death. And the explanation they gave was that there was no reason to think he had not thought he was in jeopardy from serious harm. But she was 6 or 8 feet away from him. There was no way you could reasonably conclude that he would have felt he was in jeopardy or harm. In other words, they're whitewashing the whole thing because Ashley Babbitt wasn't killed. Ashley Babbitt didn't die. It was one more phony stage event in an endless number coming from the Democrat Party.
Well, I can substantiate what you're saying on that because I did watch a video early on when these white buses were brought in. And out of the buses came BNL, BLM instigators, and they went over to the camera and said, well, the guy went over to the camera and says, we're going to whip up the crowd.
Well, we know where you're going with this.
There's the evidence right there. It was a staged event by, I mean, not the protests, because the protests were legitimate because of, you know, the fraudulent stuff that went on with the election. But the intrusion into the White House was prompted by the Democrats. That's my opinion.
Into the Capitol.
Yes, into the Capitol. And the cops were saying, this way, come on this way. I watched it on video. The whole thing was an instigation. They took advantage of a fraudulent election. They whipped up the crowd, and not all of the crowd went in. Some of it didn't.
Now, if anyone has any doubt who's behind all of this, we have Valerie Jarrett, who, of course, was our closest advisor of Barack Obama, who's even been living in his home just a couple miles from the White House. Obama, unlike all of his predecessors, didn't move out of town to let the new occupant achieve his success or failure on his own terms, but remained behind to run an underground opposition against Donald Trump. She's promoting anti-police activism and slamming the cop for bringing a gun to a knife fight. Where we had these two teenagers, one of whom was a very large woman who was flashing a knife. It looked like a steak knife. It was a very substantial knife, threatening to injure a much smaller woman. The police were called, and after repeatedly asking her to drop the knife, she raised it in an apparent effort to lunge at the younger girl and kill her or seriously wound her. And the policeman shot her. And Valerie Jarrett and the other scumbags of the Democrat Party, and I say that with great authority because I used to be a supporter of the Democrat Party. I voted for Bill Clinton twice. I voted for Barack Obama twice. But I'm telling you, these people have become so incredibly corrupt. Get this, here's what Jarrett tweeted. A black teenage girl named Michaela Bryant was killed because a police officer immediately decided to shoot her multiple times in order to break up a knife fight. Demand accountability, fight for justice, Black Lives Matter. But he gave her plenty of opportunity. A neighbor there, who is a military veteran, confirmed the account that the police officer was left no choice. And this idea of, you know, that knife fights should just be allowed to go forward. It's absurd beyond belief. In London, where they have stupidly banned guns, there was such an epidemic of murders involving knives that they had to ban knives too, leading me to conjecture what's next, potato peelers? And before the words were out of my mouth, they'd also ban potato peelers. People like Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the rest of these scumbags are seeking to turn America inside out. They are betraying the American people. It is grotesque. It is offensive. Don't let yourself be played.
Well, I'll tell you, Hillary Clinton's dirty. She's named in my federal grand jury demand that I requested, and the judge said I could appear if the U.S. attorney didn't do his job with my own attorney. It's never happened. Each time I tried to refile it to appear, they tried to murder me. But she's named in there because I have the proof and evidence that she laundered $2.5 billion of her drug money when she was first Lesbo of Arkansas, and her husband was the so-called governor of Arkansas, Billy Boy. And they laundered $2.5 billion through M&L Business Machines Company, which was a sting operation by Ross Perot against my ex-in-laws, against Clinton and others. He did. And that was in 1997. My ex-in-law had to pay, Leonard Millman had to pay an $80 million fine for laundering all this drug money. Federico Pena, who was Secretary of Department of Energy at the time, had been Secretary of Transportation, former mayor of Denver, that took a bribe from convicted HUD figure Phil Wynn, who never sentenced, Bill Clinton gave him a presidential pardon, by the way, and he was to be sentenced to jail. The judge, head federal judge Feinsilver of Denver, who was corrupt to the hilt, took bribes from Leonard Millman, of which I have proof how he did it, and it was done in the M&L thing. But Federico Pena had to pay a $1.5 million bribe, and here he took, a fine, and here he took $2.5 million in bribes. And in that case, they had 150 federal agents, U.S. attorneys, governors, everybody in on the take, and they proved they got anywhere from $1 to $2 million apiece, and nobody went to jail. They sealed it under national security. After Millman paid an $80 million fine, Federico Pena pays $1.5 million. Larry Mizell, who took over from Millman, the fallen angel possessed, alien possessed human being, that was on the board of directors of Silverado, along with Norman Brownstein, who was the counsel, CIA counsel to George Herbert Walker Bush when he was CIA director, that Bill Barr worked for, and others. The point is, they paid $10 million apiece, Brownstein and Mizell. Now, I want to bring up Brownstein for a moment. Brownstein, Millman had incorporated Dominion Software, which was involved in the election fraud and stolen. Now, Dominion is registered, and I've got the documents because I pulled them from Secretary of State's office. The address that it goes to is 3773 something. I forgot what it was, but it happened to be this week. I got cyber attacked from software inside that address because I traced it back and did all my work on it and blocked them, but that was where it was coming from. Now, Mike Lindell, who has MyPillow, who had proven the voter fraud in his state and other stuff, he has filed suit. He has filed suit with 2,500 of his employees in a class action against Dominion Software, by the way, folks. And he has a new website called Frank Speech, FrankSpeech.com. Everybody needs to check it out. He really hammered. He's taking and hammering the media is what he's doing in the first couple shows he's done up there. But anyway, it's just something I want to throw out, Jim and Joe.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, you're all yours, Joe.
Okay. The point here is, and I didn't want to go down that path because the key on this whole Chauvin case is to, what you have said, to incite a race war. And they have said, no matter which, and this was before the trial, no matter which way this goes, we're going to burn it down. And you're going to see an increase of these absolute absurd actions within by the Democrats that are going to try to bring about that overt race war. So that's my thoughts on the Shaven case.
I'm pretty much in agreement with you, Jim or Joe, about the racial stuff, and with all the people they're bringing in from Kenya, Somalia, and the other place, and of course the Mexican border, it's just being flooded. We're going to be outnumbered one of these days as far as the white people in America. And I believe that they're going to try to do everything they can to get rid of a hell of a lot of us. Now, I want to kind of shift for a minute if I can. There's a lot of people coming up dead. They're saying that now we've had 100 and some odd million people. 130, 140 million have had this shot, the vaccination. And they're croaking. They're getting sick and croaking after the first shot. They aren't even getting the second one yet. So what's your opinion on this, Jim?
Oh, yeah. You want to avoid taking any of these injections that are causing thousands of deaths and tens of thousands of serious additional problems that are bringing about many, many other deaths. It's all being grossly underreported. All the evidence suggests there's been no increase in deaths from 2019 to 2020. There's a new study now involving 1,500 COVID positive cases where research has shown not one of them had the COVID virus. You got to understand, the COVID virus has never been isolated. That means it's not even possible in principle. They could have a bona fide vaccination. All of this is really a terrible part of a depopulation program to massively reduce the world by over 7 billion. I mean, it's not just the U.S. that is being targeted, but over 7 billion people. And it is just catastrophic what's going on here. I'm very worried that many Americans are being played. The face masks are a way to kill you slowly. They got an oxygen supply to your brain that kills brain cells, which, unlike skin cells, do not grow back. We also have, of course, the injections, which are going to kill you a whole lot faster. And it looks as though the reason why Bill Gates has been buying up a lot of American farmland is ultimately they want to starve us to death by bringing about a massive shortage in the food supply. Bear in mind now, and this is really the bottom line, they want to defund the police. They don't want you to have any way to protect yourself. They don't want there to be anyone there who can come to your protection. That means each and every one of us is responsible for the safety of ourselves and our families and our loved ones. So if you don't own a weapon, buy one. If you don't know how to use them, learn. Stock up on ammunition. You have to be able to protect yourself because no one else is going to come to your aid. It takes at least as long as 20 minutes to show up to an emergency call. All the mayhem takes place in the first few minutes. So by the time the police show up with their guns, because you don't have any, your daughter may have been raped, your wife murdered, you may have been mugged. You must have the ability to protect yourself. Dave Hodges years ago observed that in the 20th century, 19 nations underwent democides, meaning the slaughter of the whole society by its own government. Each of those cases was preceded by gun confiscation. We cannot allow the United States to become number 20.
Well, they come for my gun. As you have said, they come for my gun. I'm going to use it on them.
Let me give a statistic for the audience. The political word is racist, white supremacist. The true numbers on racial lines for 2018 there were 550,000 black on white attacks. I'll say that again. There were 550,000, that's a rounded figure, of black on white attacks. And these are not just you get punched in the head. This is where you're beaten down into the ground. Another statistic brings about there were 420,000 in another year, 420,000 Hispanic attacks on whites. So this points to the fact of why they want to defund the police, because they want the barbarian, and make no mistake about it, the crime rates with these immigrants has gone through the roof.
It's going to continue.
And the number of people that have been killed by them. So you have, like, on a daily basis, in some areas along the border, you'll have anywhere from 8,000 to 9,000 people coming across the border at any time on that day.
Now, you've got someone that you look at their videos all the time, Anthony?
Yeah, take a look. Go to Real Anthony Aguero, A-Q-U-E-R-O, and he will take you on a nice little tour of the border. And one of the places that he comes out of is El Paso, which is my hometown. And I can tell you that no matter what they say, El Paso is not a safe town. And they did a statistical study on Judicial Watch, Chris Farrell, and he did a four-year study on the cartels and El Paso. And what they found out was that the cartels meet on the American side, namely El Paso, to make their plans.
Interesting. Jim?
Stu, it's always a pleasure, my friend, joining you and Joel. I relish the opportunity. Thanks for this chance once again.
Well, we said we'd cut it here, so we're going to have to get off. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you for listening. And I want to say thank you, Jim, for your report. And thank you, Joe, for yours. And you two have a good day.
You got it.
Okay. We'll talk.